Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is the next installment of the Seven Rays. I hope that you're all up for this and that you have learned the stuff from the previous presentation that we did. I want to again tell you that we have people working in the background. There's about four or five people helping me today, so I want to thank them on the start. We have Brett and Joe and Kay. And even another gentleman called Bob. So there's a lot of hands helping us out. I'm going to move this away so that I can have the entire screen in front of me here. Okay, I hope you can all see things well. Here we go. All right, it has been suggested that I just review again some of the qualities of the rays so that they are fresh in our minds as we approach trying to figure out what ray is on what vehicle. So some of these by now you all know very well, so it's just going to be very quick review. You know the energies of the first ray. Ray one, will or power. You got to keep in mind the name of the ray because that tells you so much. Its energy is strong, it's direct, it's forward moving, dynamic and piercing. I'm basically reading what I have listed here. So you can just follow me as we go through this. What is its quality? Remember, rays are almost synonymous with quality. Every ray contains within it a quality. So for the first ray, being number one, right, being the closest, if you were to line them up from the top down to the bottom, it's the closest to God, so to speak. It's the closest up to heaven. It's the first, right? So it's about principle. It's about essence. It's about the purpose. What is the purpose? On any level, purpose. It is also about law. Moses brought down the law from up high. Its ability is to centralize, to bring everything into a point, into the center, very much like the power that's behind a bullet or a bomb, right? It's all centralized, synthesized together, and waiting there to explode, waiting there to move forward. Its symbols can be any of the first ray symbols that by now you're familiar with, like a dot, a straight line, a lightning bolt. That's the power behind it. A seed, very much like what I said, like a bomb. Self-containing, all the potential. Excuse me, an arrow or a sword. And of course, you have here your animals, your eagle and your hawk, you know, flying high, being able to see its prey and being able to hone in, a lion and a tiger. Moving along to the second ray of love, wisdom. It's not love or wisdom, it's love wisdom. Whereas for the first ray, it was will or power, depending on which aspect of that particular ray you find yourself on. Its energy is totally different. They're almost opposite. Its energy is round, whereas the other one is direct. It radiates out just like the sun does, and it magnetically draws in just like the sun does. It's emanating. It's expansive, like Jupiter. It's cohesive. It holds things together. And it's open and receptive. Its quality is attraction and repulsion. The law of attraction and repulsion, they are opposite. you have that actually in the law of gravity. Gravity attracts, and gravity also repulses that which it does not hold within its sphere of influence. It repulses all the other planets. Qualities like love, wisdom, inclusion, nurturance, illumination, it's light. Second ray is about light. And of course, through nurturing, you heal. So it's also the ray of healing. Symbols associated with the second ray are circle, the heart, the sun. We talked about how magnetic it can be. An owl, because wise, like an owl. A deer. Deer can be very timid, and second ray can be rather timid. And dolphin. Moving along to the third ray. Its energy is rotary motion. It goes round and round and round and round. It's circuitous weaving, right? It does not go in a straight line. It weaves like the letter S. It's versatile, it's adaptive, it's malleable, it can form and be flexible. Its qualities are activity, adaptivity, try saying that, multiplicity, selectivity, and economy. Okay, economy is almost like a different category here. Being economical, understanding how economy works, understanding supply and demand, understanding how markets are, etc., etc. Symbols, it's number three. So you got triangle. You got the weaving of a spider, all in different directions and tangents, creating the web. So when we have our internet, the web, it's very much a symbol. You have the dollar sign. Well, there you have your S, and then you have money, which Third Ray is all about, right? It's understanding economy, understanding how money works. And the B, busy as a bee. Third Ray is about activity. It can be very busy. Fourth Ray, its energy is, Fourth Ray's harmony through conflict. So it wants to bring harmony, but in the only way it can do that is through conflict. So it wants to unify, bring together. Its energy is also associative, and that shows up mostly if it's Fourth Ray on the mind. So when you think of something, you immediately associate it with something else you already know. It's at one-ing. It tries to at one or unify or bring together. It oscillates, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down, and fluctuating, which is very similar to oscillating. And it links, brings together. It links this to that, just like the bridge does, just like the Antikarana does. It's a linker, Ray 4. Mercury, Ray 4. It's known as the linker, the one that links. Its quality is harmony, obviously, or equilibrium, or at one ment, peace. If everything is in harmony, it's automatically in a state of peace. It's demonstrative because the fourth ray is the ray that is the same as humanity. It understands the human condition and therefore expresses it and demonstrates it. Hence, you have drama. It can be dramatic. And because of its ability to be in the center when it's in harmony, it can mediate and try to bring the two sides together or to a state of harmony. Symbols, the bridge, the seesaw, the scales of justice, the same thing, the yin and the yang, the masks of tragedy and comedy, the swinging of a pendulum, the palette and the butterfly, because it's beautiful, isn't it? Fifth ray, concrete knowledge or science, not and science, or some people, the fifth ray is in circulation right now. Its energy is active right now. So we have a lot of fifth ray, and it's not always in the sciences. So many times it's in the mind. And if it's in the mind, it's more in terms of concrete knowledge versus science. So its energy is, it takes things apart. See, the fifth ray looks at the detail, at the small, in order to understand the whole. So in order to understand the small, it's got to separate. So it separates, it dissects, it probes deep, 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 like a researcher does, or like a microscope does, looking at the small part. It's sequential, it goes one after another. So therefore, numbering is very much fifth ray. Linear, right? Very similar to being sequential. And probing, as I said. The fifth ray is also one of the rays that works with light. Therefore, if light shines on something, it illuminates it and it brings clarity to something. Its qualities are knowing. It wants to know, wants to understand so it can know. Specific, and it has to understand the small piece. So it's got to be very specific. It is the ray of discrimination, of lucidity, again, being clear. A detached inquiry. If it wasn't for the fifth ray that wants to know and it wants to understand, it asks questions and it inquires. It wants to even understand God and what makes everything tick. It learns through experimentation. Some of its symbols are a test tube, a computer, a light bulb, a puzzle, because it has to all fit together and working like puzzles even in math. Laser, the brain, a fifth ray instrument, and the primates because of their opposing thumb. Sixth ray, devotion and idealism. Its energy is up. The ideal is always up there. The goal is up there. The archetype is up there. The thing to strive for is always high. So it uplifts. It goes forward, but always sort of upward at the same time. It's intense, very, very dedicated to what it is devoted to. One-pointed and fiery. It's got heat behind it. Its quality is devotion, idealism, loyalty, humility, sacrifice, the whole mystical approach to understanding God, faith, optimism, and abstraction. It's really the umbrella for all religions. And its symbols are praying hands, the halo, the flag, or the dog. And the seventh ray is the ray of ceremonial magic. It has other words to it as well, like order. Can't think of it right now. It's okay. Energy is patterning, creating patterns, wanting to create patterns. It's rhythmic, right? And cyclical, similar as rhythmic. Self-organizing, and it's the builder. It's known as the builder. Its quality is ritualistic, systemizing. And I think I mentioned to you before that it deals with form. It's much more tangible than all the other rays. So any of the words that have the word form in it are seventh ray words, like transform, reform, conform, deform, and so on. Uniform, right? It wants to make things happen. So therefore, it's the ray of manifestation. It brings things to the physical plane and makes things happen. That's what magic is. Now you see it, now you don't. So it's taking a thought, taking an idea and making it happen, making it visible, making it tangible. That is magic. Symbols, the wand, the crystal, the map, the compass, the beaver. You all got it now, right? You understand the rays, you know its qualities, you know all the energy about the ray. So we're going to move now into understanding the various vehicles. Last time we talked about the mental ray, and we learned which rays you can choose from, right? The most common one being the fifth ray, then the fourth ray, and then the first ray, and the third ray only if you are a disciple. So I hope you have had a chance to think about this and maybe it has helped you arrive at the ray of the mind. We also covered the ray of the personality. Now, the ray of the personality can be any of the seven rays. And I remember that the personality is the part that we tend to be identified with. I know eventually we must be identified as a soul because that's who we really are. But for most of our lives, we identify as the personality. When I refer to myself, Eva, I have a certain persona. I have a certain way I see myself. I have a certain way others see me. That's all my personality. The personality is in our faces. So have you had a chance to look at that and to see what ray kind of fits that for you? Okay, now we're getting actually to the easier rays to deal with. We dealt with the two hard ones, the personality and the mind. We're going to talk a little bit about now the emotional or the astral body. It deals with sentiency, which is feeling. It's the feeling nature. It affects our moods. Water is usually the element that is associated with our emotions. Right? So air tends to be associated sometimes with the mind. Sometimes it's fire that's associated with the mind. But water, we know for sure, is associated with our emotions. And water is fluid and changeable. right? Water will fit into any container. Water will seek its own level. Water will flow. All these are descriptors of what water is like. Well, that's what our emotions are like. Within emotions, there are temperature or decibel levels. How loud is our emotional body? How loud do we get when we get upset, when we get angry? Right? How do we raise our voice? How excitable are we? How red in the face do we get? How upset are we? It makes my blood boil. You've heard words like that. See, that refers to temperature versus calm, which is blue, which is, blue like the waters. Are you reactive or are you responsive? Think about it for a moment. Do you know the difference between responding versus reacting? Do you have many buttons that get pushed? How easily do your buttons get pushed? We all have buttons, right, that get pushed. How easily? Are you passionate? Do you feel things quickly? Are you easily moved to hurt or to anger? Which one is it? Usually it's one or the other. People get angry first, then they feel the hurt. Or some people feel hurt right away, and the anger will only set in later on as they think about why they feel hurt. Are you moody, which we've already talked about? Your choices for the rays that you can choose for emotions or your astral body are 6, 2, and 1. The most common ray on the astral vehicle is the 6th. Do you know why? Well, let's look at our famous Constitution of Man map. We talked a little bit about that last time. Remember, can you see my cursor okay? The physical is the 7th. The emotional is the 6th. Now, if the emotional, which is the liquid element here, is the plane that the emotions find on, doesn't it make sense that the 6th ray would resonate with emotions? Hence, most people have 6th ray as an emotional vehicle because it is the 6th plane. Just like the mental plane, remember when we looked at the mind, we said the most common ray for the mental vehicle is the 5th, because the mental ray the ray of the mental field or the mental plane is the 5th. Okay? You're following that, right? Okay. So let's look at some qualities that we would associate with the 6th ray astral body. 6th ray, if you remember the ray, it automatically is a ray of heat. So we talked about the 6th ray being passionate. So it's excitable. It gets excited. The middle here would be the horizon. The middle would be the horizon, right? So everything above the horizon is considered a plus. In other words, these are positive attributes. Everything below the horizon are what we consider weaknesses or negative attributes. So these are strengths. Excitable. That's a good thing, to get excited about things, to get passionate about things, to be intense. Intense is not bad and it's not good. It can be either. If you're so intense that you're oblivious to everything else, or you can be intense and dedicated to what it is that you're doing. It's immediate. So your emotions are immediate. You react. It is hot and fiery like Mars. And the color of Mars is red. It is watery like Neptune. The color of Neptune would be the waters. The waters tend to be blue, right? Emotions for the 6th ray are quick to pass. Neptune's emotional would be in the way of tears, very easily moved to tears and crying. And of course, the Mars will bring about anger, passion, zeal, right? Now, some on the downside for the sixth ray, buttons are easily pushed. Very easily. Doesn't take much. Lack of restraint. Okay, there isn't the kind of control. It just goes out. It's immediate. It goes out. It doesn't stop to think because thinking requires a pause. And because sixth ray is emotional and outgoing and immediate, it doesn't stop and allow the mind to think. It can be aggressive, like Mars. Okay. And here, just to give you some idea of how worked up, highly charged the sixth ray can get. More than 50% of humanity has sixth ray on the astral body. So if you have any doubt, it would be sixth ray. I would always encourage people, you start assuming that you have sixth ray on the emotional body, unless it shows you otherwise. Its decibel level is loud. It's upfront. Very in the moment. Easy to feel by the individual and those in relationship to this person. So the individual reacts very quickly, but the others really see that as well, right? They really feel it. They see that reaction or that way of being very, very easily. It's right there. It's in our faces. It's right up front. It's not subtle. This isn't about being subtle. This is about really reacting. One good thing about the sixth ray is that they get over it very quickly. You blurt it out, you say what you want to say, and then it's kind of forgotten. It, like, you get over it very, very quickly. It can get agitated. So, do you see yourself as a sixth ray emotional? Because we're going to move on now. The second ray. Now, you notice so far, the sixth ray is an even ray. The second ray is an even ray, right? So even rays lend themselves more to the emotional nature. Whereas, remember when we talked about the mind, we talked about the odd numbers, five. There is four because of humanity's on the fourth ray. And that's why many people with fourth ray minds have difficulty learning the way school is taught, because school is taught mostly in a fifth ray style. So you have five, you have four, you have one, and you have three. Most of those are odd numbers, except for four. Well, here you have six and you have two. We are going to also talk about the first ray, but that's an odd one. So it's going to be a more difficult emotional vehicle for the individual to deal with and for its placement upon the emotional vehicle. But right now we're looking at two. What you know about ray two, love and wisdom. Hence, that second ray emotional is receptive and it is sensitive, easily moved by energies, by the waves that are in the air. It can affect the emotions very, very easily. It's the ray of calmness. It's the ray of warmth. They feel also, but it's got greater depth of feeling. So they feel it deeper. Hence, they feel hurt more easily because they feel it deeper. It's not right there on the surface reacting. So they are more responsive as opposed to reacting, and sometimes even slow to response. It's only later on they say, oh my God, I could have and I should have and I didn't, because they don't always react immediately. On the downside, because of the sensitivity, they're oversensitive. Oversensitive can lead to hurt, right? Tends to feel hurt rather than angry. Anger can set in, but a lot later on. Tendency is to feel hurt. And many second rays can feel overwhelmed. I know I do many times. I get into a certain situation and there's so much energy in the room and there's so much going on. I immediately feel that impact on me and I feel overwhelmed and I don't necessarily know what to say and how to respond because I can feel all of that in my system. And it causes my waters to start to move and I get very, very uncomfortable with it. Well, that oversensitivity can lead to fear, right? You can see that because you can't control that. Here's some ways to look at the waters of the second ray emotional field. It feels deeply, deeply. The feelings are often subtle. Many times one doesn't even know what it is that they're feeling. Hard to describe. How is this affecting you? You can ask someone, I say, I don't know. I'm not too sure how I feel about that, right? That would be a response that would come out of my mouth. Experiences sensitivity, fear, and suffering sometimes. Secondary emotional fields. As we said, it tends to feel hurt rather than angry. But do you see how it can spread and then it can affect the entire being? It starts off as a little thing and then the sensitivity can just spread right out. Or the field can really affect the person in the center because there's so much going on. It absorbs emotional energy and therefore can feel overwhelmed. And if I lead a meditation, I often tell people, especially beginner meditators, to, as they're calming the various vehicles, to see their emotional vehicle as a pond of water, still water, with the sun glistening off the top of the water. Well, basically, this picture depicts that calm, gentle, serene, and patient. Non-reactive can many times even appear unemotional. But if you are meditating and if you're upset, it's very hard to meditate. So one good way is to calm the waters. Using a visual like this is really, really helpful in calming one's waters. I don't know about you, but I often see like a sea of water around my middle, I guess where the solar plexus would be. And that's usually very, very calm. And I do sort of see the sun glistening off the waters. And I can feel, like going back to this picture right here, I can feel many times, I can feel a pebble being dropped into my emotional vehicle. And I can feel the ripple starting. They start to come out. And I can feel them in my body, the emotions, how they actually start. Now, sometimes I can actually calm it down, but sometimes it kind of vibrates through my entire system, that emotions, and then I know that I'm being affected emotionally. Second ray can get agitated. It's not always about being calm. It's not always about being peaceful. Yes, they can get agitated. I used to have people say to me, well, does second ray have emotions? Do they actually get agitated? Absolutely, they get agitated. They just aren't as loud about it and as intense about it. It's done, but in a quieter way. As you can see here, you compare that to the other picture that we had here where the agitation was like all over the place, right? This is agitated, yes, but not as active. Not as great. Okay? So between the two, do you have a sense of your emotional vehicle? If you were just looking at these two. We're going to move on to the first ray. Again, as I said earlier, the first ray is not an even ray. So therefore, it's not as comfortable a placement for the emotional body. You remember the qualities of the first ray? It's detached, it's power, it's strength, it lives in isolation. Well, put that all on the emotional body. What would that look like on the emotions? Well, those emotions, see, one of the things that we kind of know that by now is that our commonality is as a result of our astral or emotional vehicle. This is what brings people together. It's the emotions that flow out. It's not the mind. It's not the personality. It's usually the emotions that flow out. And that kind of connects us. Well, if your emotions are detached, right? They're almost like not there. Is that going to connect to someone else? I'm sure you come across people where there isn't that connection. That's because they might have first ray on the emotional body and it's detached. It is the array of containment. It contains its emotions within. Now, on the weakness, it's unaware of their feeling nature. First ray emotional bodies are usually totally unaware of how they feel. You know, we said that a lot about second ray. They can't describe what they're feeling because it's more subtle. But first ray is unaware of its feeling nature. And emotionally unresponsive. Actually, they're quite cool. They can be violent to themselves or to others. And I know that right now there seems to be the trend for young teenagers not able to deal with their emotional body and or life in general are into cutting or into self-abuse. And I kind of wonder where that first ray is within them. Is it on the emotional level? Is it personality? Because, you know, violence to oneself, it can come out in different ways. And anger, first ray can be angry and volatile, quite volatile. So let's see how this shows up. You know, you know what they say about an iceberg, we only see the top 10%, right? 90% is hidden. Well, that's how the first ray emotional vehicle is. It is contained. It is hidden. It is hidden from the person themselves as well as from others. So emotionally unresponsive. Affections are cool, generally lacking temperature. Because remember what we said? Emotions generally have a certain amount of temperature. It can be warm for second ray. It can be hot for sixth ray. Emotional isolation, the feeling of being one alone. Often not even aware of their emotions, or their emotions can be suppressed. How will that come out? Okay. It can come out as a cathartic release of deeply concealed or welled up emotions. Suppression is the other side of the coin. They can suppress their emotions or they can explode with these emotions. How is this explosion totally different than sixth rays who can get very, very excitable and emotional and can also explode? This is much, much stronger, with much more power behind it, with totally uncontrolled, okay? Now, I can give you examples, but I don't want to pigeonhole first ray in some of the examples, so I'm a little reluctant to give those kinds of examples, but we often hear of people who they're described as, well, we knew this person, it was so calm, we never heard anything about it, and suddenly they do something drastic where that explosion of emotion comes through and they've done something horrible, especially in the United States, where, you know, they have guns and they have other things that suddenly all of that explodes, like the volcano. Here's just another first-ray astral field, destructive emotions, both to self and to others. Occasionally, violent outbursts. Violence can be a negative first-ray emotion. I knew a girl, she was an acquaintance of mine, and I concluded that she had a first ray astral field. And I think she had a second ray personality with a first ray astral field. So you see, the second ray is kind of calm and kind of quiet and kind of sweet in many ways. But the first ray is cool. So we would, you know, I would ask her, well, how, you know, she describes certain things. How do you feel about that? She'd say, well, let me think here. I think that blah, 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 blah. So she would always kick up a feeling into her mind. She never was able to identify the feeling. It was always the way she thought about a person or a situation. So she kicked it up into her mind. She was a bright girl, you know, so I'm sure the mind was very a bright mind, but not at all aware of her feeling nature. Okay, where are we going now? Okay, we're going to move on to the physical etheric body. So think about this, everybody. Think, what ray do you think your emotional vehicle is? Sixth? Maybe two? Maybe one? More than likely, it's six. So the etheric physical body and the vital body, and your choices are ray three and ray seven, and one, and sometimes six. Now, do we want to go back up to our constitution? Now, the physical etheric is the seventh. It's right down here. And number seven is its numerical number. Hence, on the physical plane, we can see how number seven, or the seventh ray, would be the most comfortable of them all. And why do we think third ray is comfortable there too? Well, if you think back of the aspects of deity, the third aspect, the third ray, is the ray of matter. It's the ray of the form. So even though it's not the actual plane of the physical plane, it is very much related to matter and to form. So you have the ray three and ray seven as the most common of the physical natures. Sometimes you have a one. So here again, you see odd numbers, three, seven, and one. They're odd. So therefore, there's a relative comfortableness. Ooh, does that word exist? For the physical body if it's an odd number. But sometimes you have six. Six is an even number. It's not, it doesn't find itself comfortable as a physical body. Right? The same as what we just did with the other two. Each ray type can be discussed under the following categories. Morphology. What is that? The morphology is the shape, the structure, and the vitality of the physical body. It's also its behavior. How does that body move? What is its behavior like? What is its energy, which goes down to etheric here, it's energy and vitality like. How does it move? Does it move slowly? Does it move quickly? Does it move energetically? You know? Example, rapid speech, rapid movements. We can see either personality or soul energies from the rays that can be reflected in the physical body. Any of you that did the morphology that we offered at the conference, if you saw that either live streaming or you attended that, you had a sense of that because we talked a little bit about the rays and how it shows up in our form. We also talked about astrology and how it shows up in our form. Okay. So the third ray is, remember, the third ray is the ray of activity and adaptability. Therefore, it's a very resilient body. It's agile, it's adaptable, it's robust, and it's casual. It doesn't need to be formalized, you know, form. It's casual. It's got ease with the physical plane. Some of the negatives. This body needs to move. It cannot really sit still for too long. It can get restless. And many times, You can see this in people. You know, there are people that sit with their legs crossed and one leg shakes. You know, they shake the leg a lot, right? Or they twiddle a lot. Or they doodle. I do think I have a third ray physical. I used to sit on the phone when phone calls, you know, when we used to sit on the phone a lot. And I used to doodle. I used to draw with my hand and not even know that I was doing that. Or maybe I did sometimes. But there's that restlessness through the body. The body and the way one carries themselves can be disorderly. Okay, it's a common, very common one. So it's an all-purpose body. It's You know, the third ray body is the kind of body that when you think back of the days when people farmed, right? They had to be out in the field and they had to work hard. So it's a very robust body, and it's a very, it's a body that can endure hard work. It's usually not a very slim and a fragile body, but it's an all-purpose body. Often in movement, even when sitting still, you see the body moving. Like I talked about a leg that's kind of sometimes goes back and forth, shakes a little bit. But that's not to say that the third ray body can't sit still. It can do either. It can sit still like a couch potato, that casual, relaxed way. But then all of a sudden it gets restless. Maybe that's why many third ray bodies get up from the couch and go to the fridge, you know, to eat, to have activity. They get up a lot, but they can sit still for a while, and then the body needs to be active. And the more that body is active, the more it needs activity. Physically, it's a resilient body, and it can endure hard work. It can endure certain climates, and it can adapt to whatever is around them. Because it's physically comfortable, it can be very casual. Well, we are repeating ourselves here, but I want you to kind of get a sense of what it is. It's a durable, all-purpose body. Rough use. It's a body that can take a licking and keep on ticking. Not delicate, nor especially sensitive to pain. On the physical plane, it can be relatively inattentive to physical order and detail in the environment. Remember that the brain is the same as the ray on the physical body. So if you have a third ray brain, because you have a third ray physical body, third ray is about activity. It can be fast. It can be, you know, lots of activity. That third ray brain can cause rapid speech and a lot of words sometimes, a lot of speech. So lots of action in the brain. Many third ray physical brains have a hard time stilling, right? Because it can be so active. Field work, moving from place to place, and rush not from point to point is one of the phrases that DK gives us for the third ray. It's less etheric, so less sensitive to the ethers. It's mesomorphic. What do we mean by mesomorphic? It's muscular, a muscular frame that's sturdy, strong, active. They are connected, very, very easily connected to the material plane. And the way we move is often conditioned by our physical body. Now, what I've done here is I've pulled out some diagrams to show you that this is, remember, mesomorphic. Let's go look at mesomorphic. There it is for a male, mesomorphic. You see that it's sort of in between. It's not ecto, which is on the thin side, and it's not endo, which is on the heavier side. It's sort of a good working body, an all-purpose body for a female. Here you have the mesomorphic. They didn't put it in the middle. So you have, again, not too thin and not too heavy. So you have right smack in the middle here between the two. Okay, so that's the third ray. We're moving on to the seventh ray. Remember, the seventh ray is comfortable because it is on the seventh plane. The seventh ray is about cycles, rhythm, patterns. Let's keep that in mind. So it's a body that can be trained easily. It's a trainable body. Can be graceful on the physical plane. It's a body that likes its habits. And the form is somewhat refined. For those of you that are a little bit older, if you think back of Jane Fonda, when she used to have her exercises, calisthenics on you know, TV and videos, she was the epitome of a seventh ray body. It was very well proportioned, not heavy, not slim, you know, nice, really nice lines and curves. Many, you know, Russia gives us a lot of ballet, right? And ballet, I would think that most ballerinas and the men that do ballet have seventh ray physical, and Russia is ruled by the seventh ray. Now, on the downside, the body needs routines. Body needs routines. Oversensitivity to the environment and lack of resilience. Unlike the third ray body that can jump back and get over things very quickly, can be tired and then can manage, The seventh ray lacks that kind of flexibility and resilience. It's also a common ray for the physical form. As we said, it's refined, more delicate, more formal. Seventh ray bodies, I find, tend to want to even dress a little bit more formally, whereas third ray can be very casual. Now, having said all of that, and what we're doing here is we're separating things. We're taking things apart in order to understand them better. We're doing a fifth ray thing. The higher the vehicle, the higher the ray of the vehicle, or the higher the vehicle, the more influence it has over the lesser vehicle. We understand that, right? So a personality can have influence over a physical body. So if you have a seventh ray personality, you might impose ritual habits upon a third ray physical body. Okay, so in this exercise, it's important to just look at the bodies and the body's needs. As a seventh ray personality, I impose a tremendous amount of routine and ritual and habits on my physical form, but my body can handle an awful lot. I used to be able, when we used to travel, I used to be able to sit on a park bench and sleep if I hadn't had any sleep that night. Now that I'm a little older, I'm less likely to do all this. But I used to sleep and catch up on my sleep that way. I used to be able to sleep in any bed. Again, I'm older now and I'm not as resilient as I used to be. But my body itself doesn't need that kind of delicate care. It's more the imposition that I put on it as a result of my seventh ray personality. Okay, so let's look a little closer at what that seventh ray body needs. It's easily trained. Well, my body can be trained also. Why? Because my seventh ray personality imposes training on that body. But the easiest body for training, like I said, the ballerinas, most gymnasts, seventh ray bodies. Needs and likes its routines. Yes, the body needs its routines. Broken routines, such as in travel, result in lack of vitality. So ask yourself, when you travel and your routines are disrupted, how easily do you function? How easily are you thrown off? Does it take you a long time to adjust to the time change, to the lack of the normal ways of eating, the lack of the normal body habits and rituals? How easily are you thrown off when you travel? Seventh ray is etheric sensitivity. They feel the ethers. They feel the maya, especially when you go into a shopping mall or you are in a certain parties and certain environments. They feel the etheric very, very easily. And they also could be sensitive to the ethers, whether it's the ringing of a gong or the singing bowls. Seventh ray really respond in their body to the vibrations of the ethers. This body is more mesoecto. Now, we want to go back to looking at our picture, right, in a minute. It's a blend between mesomorphic and ectomorphic. Remember what mesoite was? It was husky and muscular, whereas ecto was thin and angular. So this is why I use again Jane Fonda as your perfect example of this beautiful body, because they're not too heavy, they're not too thin, they're not too wiry, they're not, you know, on the heavy side. They are this nice shape. But 7th-rate bodies can gain weight depending on how they treat themselves and what they eat. You can still have a 7th-rate body that looks heavy, or you can have a 3rd-rate body that looks on the thin side if they work out a lot. So just by looking, sometimes you can tell, if you can tell the bone structure, if the bone structure is a little bit on the larger side, you can tell if it's a 3rd-rate body or a 7th-rate body, but sometimes you can't, you know, and that's when only the person can conclude for themselves whether that body is more sensitive to food, more sensitive to clothing, more sensitive to environment. There's a greater sensitivity in the body. And is the body more formal? Does the body actually need its routines in order to be happy? Or is it an imposition by the personality? You know, all of these factors contribute to understanding the ray of your physical nature. We have here at the very bottom, it says inclined to use hands in healing or construction, because remember, the 7th-rate is the builder. Hands are instruments of constructiveness. So let's move along and we'll look at the bodies again. Here's another one. So we have a cross here between mesomorph and ectomorph. The ecto is thin and tall, and not necessarily tall, but thin. And the meso is sturdy. And the 7th-rate is a cross between the two. Okay, we're going to move on to the physical etheric for the 1st ray. Strong. Okay, remember the 1st ray is about will and power. So that body is going to be strong. It's going to be hardy. It's going to be bony. And it's thick skin. They bump into things. They don't have the grace of the 7th ray. And physical intensity. The body is tight. It's stiff. It can be awkward, and not always does the not touchy-feely apply. I'll give you an example. Many basketball players, the thin, wiry, tall, thin, and wiry could have 1st-ray physical. They're strong, right? They can jump and leap high. My grandson, who is 14 years old, I really believe has a 1st-ray physical. He is, doesn't matter what he eats, he's still thin, he doesn't have an ounce of fat on him, all you see is bones. He bumps into things. He's kind of rough with things. He walks up the stairs and he sounds like an elephant. His, you know, thump, 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 thump. Yet he's very, very good in track and field. He's an excellent skier, so he's got the strength to ride his bike. He's a very good bike rider. He's got, if I really think about it, he's got a fairly large head. It's very narrow head, but it's a fairly large head, well-shaped head, considering how thin he is. He's got a fairly large head, I guess, for his size. Now, so in my mind at the beginning, when I first understood 1st-ray, I used to think that 1st-ray types were tall and thin, like a basketball player, like that kind of look. And then one year we were moving. And one of our movers was this small little guy, skinny as anything, but he could put the refrigerator on his back and as he moved. And I realized that you can have a wiry, thin body and not necessarily have to be tall and lanky in order to have a 1st-ray body. It's that really strong body that it's not heavy, right? It's really thin, but it can be wiry and strong, and it doesn't necessarily have to be tall. So that's what I have to say about the 1st-ray. It's strong and can be pushed. Body that can really be pushed. Now, it's far less common than 3rd or 7th-ray. Because of the lack of feeling associated with the 1st-ray, this body does not feel pain quickly. They will often not notice bumps, cuts, or bruises until later and wonder how the injury occurred. I can see that. They can have stiff, awkward or sudden movements. My grandson can't even do a roll on the floor, like a somersault, a roll. His back is so stiff, and many times he complains that his upper back hurts him. He's unusually stiff for a young boy, and even when he was much younger, he still had that stiffness in his body. When I read some of these qualities or traits to my husband one time, I said, whose body does this remind you of? And he told me, our grandson. So without understanding any of this esoterically, he could see that in our grandson. So there is often a heaviness afoot, as I described the way he walks up the stairs. This body often spills things. Yeah. But they have a lot of power on that physical plane. And therefore, if they do something, they have the energy and the power. Unremitting intensity of physical energy. Fast metabolism. Right? And therefore, they're thin. Often lanky, ectomorphic, yet very strong. Degree of slenderness, angularity, wiry, usually strong. Temporary weakness of a body has nothing to do with its ray. Example was a basketball player. When not tall, will always have a solid body. The joints, knees, and elbows will be bony in nature. This body bumps into things. Physical detachment, isolative, ascetic, inclined to keep to oneself. That does not apply to my grandson, and my grandson loves to be massaged and scratched, and he kind of likes to hug too. So when we say it's not a touchy-feely body, it doesn't always apply. I guess there's other factors that fall into this. And I said strong head emphasis. So that gives you a fairly good idea of the first ray physical. We're going to move on to a much rarer one. And that's the sixth ray. Sixth ray, remember, is about idealism, devotion. This body tends to be very persistent. It's a persistent body. It's persistent and tenacious, will hold on to whatever it likes, right? Like the sixth ray is very dedicated to what it likes. How do we see this body? It's loose. So loose, it's not a particularly muscular body. It's a moist body. Remember, sixth ray is the ray of astrality. It's the ray of the astral field. So therefore, it's moist, it's lymphatic, tends towards fullness, insulation and comfort. Therefore, they can be big people, responsive to astral currents, and attachment. Sixth ray can be very attached. The desire nature is very strong in the sixth ray, hence the attachment, and can be attached to the physical plane, to the foods that they eat, to their likes. This type of body appears to be rare. Obesity is often associated with this ray. In the United States, having a sixth ray personality, it is reflected in the physical body and personality vehicles. I remember the first time we were in the United States, we went to Florida, and I was absolutely in a state of shock as an adult to see as many heavy people as there were there. It just blew my mind away. And I realized afterwards, once I started to know the rays, how that sixth ray shows itself in the physical form. A very loose muscle tone. It's definitely your endomorphic. That was the heavier side. Moist and lymphatic, fluid accumulation, body very responsive to astral currents, and brain predominantly the servant of the astral body. Body easily subject to addictions, food addictions, could be other addictions as well. Great physical attachment, physical tenacity and persistence, tends towards fullness, insulation, and comfort. And we have one more picture to look at. So here you have your wiry bodies, you know, whether they're tall or short. And so this was your ectomorphic. Then you have somewhere in here your mesomorphic. And of course, here you have your endomorphic. And the same thing applies for females. Okay. So, much to think about. By now you have quite a bit of information, so you can decide. Are you still, is it easier for you to decide now which ray is the ray of your emotions and the ray of your physical? The harder one we did last time. Oh, come on, open up. I'm trying to go to another document here. There we go. We're going to talk about the soul. Now we're going to try to figure out the ray of the soul. Okay. So I know all of you in this group know about soul, or you wouldn't be where you are, right? You wouldn't be in the Maurya Federation. So you all know soul. So what we're going to look at is more qualities of soul that often doesn't get talked about. And hopefully this will help you understand soul a little better and get a sense of the ray of your soul. Soul is love, but the love of the soul is unattached, not like the love of the solar plexus or the love of our astrality. That is attached. I love you. I love you. I need you. I have to have you. I'm not fulfilled unless I have you. That's all solar plexus or astral kind of love. The love that is of the heart or of the soul is totally unattached. Being unconditional, this is what we call unconditional love. Soul's love has no judgment or criticism. That's important. Accepting sometimes means tolerating, but that's not what we're talking about. It doesn't judge and it doesn't criticize. Soul's love is steadfast. It's constant and not predicated on situation or circumstance. Well, you know, many of you have done these assignments. The soul's urge is to serve. That's what the soul wants to do, is to serve. Serve humanity, serve the other kingdoms of nature. It's to serve in some capacity. Soul's unconditional love gives strength and courage. You want to see others succeed. This isn't about jealousy. This isn't about usurping someone else's authority. This isn't about, well, if I help them, where is that going to leave me, right? That is not soul. Soul wants to help and have nothing in it for themselves. Soul's love radiates. Soul is heart. Now, I've often said soul resides in our causal body, which is for geographic purposes situated as one can see it as a sphere of light somewhere above our heads, right? But soul expresses itself through the heart. The heart is where soul expresses. You see, soul needs the personality. How else is it going to express itself without the personality? You see, the vertical is God and matter, right? This is how we receive the energy. There is the heart, and this is our arms outspread. This is the service that we do. So we, in fact, are a cross. The vertical and the horizontal line create a cross that we are. And this is how we live our life, centered in the heart, because the heart is the soul's expression. And we serve with using the arms here as the mode of symbolizing how we serve. And this is where we receive our energy and ground it into the earth, ground it in our being. In all cultures and myths, light was the first something that issued forth or was birthed. In the beginning, there was light. And what does that light do? That light is the light of the soul. And when soul is the firstborn, full expression from spirit. So you have spirit and you have matter. And it's like a father and mother. What did they produce? They produced soul. So soul is the first expression from spirit. It's its offshoot. It's its child. It is its son, S-O-N. And through that light, which each one of us is, all can be recognized. It can be named. It can be known. Without the light, we don't know what we're seeing. We're not seeing anything. But light, as it shines on something, that's what this is. We can name it. We can know it. The more light that there is in the world, it wasn't until the light bulb was discovered and suddenly the cities were lit up, that more consciousness was seen in humanity. Light reflects how much consciousness, how much soul we as a humanity express. Okay, why can't I see the wording here? Anyway, light illumines. Actually, this is in the middle here. That's Shambhala, if you can see through what I'm showing you here. Light illumines, therefore all can be seen. Soul is the light of life. Life is spirit. Light is Shambhala. Life is Shambhala. Life is spirit. Life is monad. Soul is the light of life, and so brings a lightness to life. One feels less weighted down, lack of heavy, through that light that we are, that we radiate, irrespective of what the ray of the soul is. And then we feel peaceful, or we feel plugged in. And soul is compassionate. Soul is flow, or being in the flow of life. Soul's love is wide, expansive, inclusive. Here we see a man and a woman. You can see the energy of their love, but soul's love is much more than that. It's expansive. It includes others. It is one's true vocation. What do we mean by that? I think when we talked a little bit about the personality and the mind, we talked about how, as a result of the ray of the personality, and more than likely the ray of the mind, one finds their way into some kind of a vocation, some kind of a job. If you have fifth ray, you tend to find yourself in, it could be working in labs, working in the field of medicine. It could be all kinds of different things as a result of having to learn fifth ray stuff, biology, chemistry, that kind of thing. And you kind of like those things, or even mathematics, practical mathematics. Or you find yourself in the humanities if you have fourth ray on the mind, or social work, or that kind of thing. But it isn't until later on. Usually it happens in a midlife crisis when someone is so moved by soul that they feel so totally unfulfilled with the work that they're doing, that they change their vocation. Some people are lucky enough early on in life to know what it is that the soul's urging them to do. This is what I must do. And this is what they do. And it is the soul that's urging them. So those people are very fortunate to already have come to terms with what that soul's purpose is in that incarnation. When one is doing the thing that is of the soul, one is in his or her element. This is what we mean when we say that he or she is in her element. The doing is so pleasurable that one loses oneself in the activity. In case you hadn't figured this out yet, group, I am a second race soul, and I love to teach. And I can teach all day, and by the end of the day, I'm not even tired. And I love it. I absolutely love it. So I can truly get lost in what I'm doing because I enjoy this more than anything else. Now, that's what soul's activity is. You get lost in what it is that you're doing, and you lose a sense of time. It's the source of one's most joyous activity. And the expression of soul quality is just sheer joy. When we see a baby, I've often said this, we see a baby and we go up to that little baby and we go coochie coochie coo, and we smile and we tickle, or we speak baby language. What we express is not personality. What each and every one of us expresses when we do that is of the heart, and that is soul. For that moment, we are so connected to soul. It's the source of one's heart's desire. Soul is that which fulfills us. It's not about personal. It's not the personal at all. It's that which truly fulfills us. Ask yourself, what are you full of? What do you need to feel fulfilled? Soul is consciousness. And what is consciousness? One could say it's awareness. And once you're conscious or once you're aware, you can never go back. You can never go back to not being aware anymore or not being conscious anymore, can you? Once consciousness or awareness is sparked, it sees, it hears, and invites more all the time. Awareness asks for more awareness. It wants to make things simple and clear. Consciousness, which is soul, brings wisdom and lives it. So you ask yourself, now that I'm aware of whatever it is I'm aware of, could I live my life as if I wasn't aware of that anymore? It doesn't work that way. You see, you don't go backwards. Soul is presence and what is in the present. Being in the moment, that is being in soul. Soul is essence, is our quintessential self. You notice the word quint, it's a prefix for the number five. And why five is associated with soul? Because soul dwells upon the plane of mind, which is the fifth plane. Do you remember that? I haven't got that Constitution of Man chart in this presentation, so I can't show you that. But remember when we were doing mind, it was the number five, and up to the fourth subplane, and below are the 18 subplanes of our personality. Above that, you are looking at higher mind, and that soul dwells on the I guess one could say on the fifth, when you count from the bottom up, or on the third, if you count from the top down, subplane of the mental or the fifth plane. Hence, quintessential. It's the source of one's true guidance. Not the guidance that a guidance counselor tells you, not the guidance that the parents influence us with. It's one's true guidance. It's the source of one's most joyous activity and the source of one's sense of the sacred. And the sacred is not necessarily only found in a church or a synagogue or a mosque. The sacred could be being out in nature. The sacred could be, as I said, being with a baby and look and just connecting eye to eye. That is sacred. We're still talking about the soul. So, esoteric psychology, and we have two of DK's books called Esoteric Psychology, is focused on the soul as the core of the human energy system. And psyche means soul. Psycho-spiritual growth cannot occur without the soul, because soul heals, soul integrates, and it transforms. Soul creates the design of our life and wields the power, the love, and the wisdom to manifest it. Once we transform our personality to become a fit instrument, soul utilizes it to accomplish its purpose. Like I said of the heart, the soul needs the personality. The soul needs to express itself through the heart. And that is the person, and then uses the personality. And we see the person's personality becoming irradiated with the light of the soul and the love of the soul. Accomplishing soul purpose is truly our heart's desire. So once you know the ray of the soul, it's so much easier to figure out what your purpose is. Soul-filled living means experiencing abundance, joy, beauty and truth all the time? No, because we still have a measure of personality energy. So no, not all the time, but certainly quite a bit. And I just went through that. Okay. Now, if we were in a class or in a group, I wouldn't be showing you all of this. I would be asking you, what does the first ray want to do more than anything else? What is essential to the first ray? What is its gift or its service? And hopefully you would come to the conclusion that it is to liberate or to free. Soul, first ray souls want to break the chains that bind, want to free other people, liberate other people. And we see this in the rhetoric or the speeches that our leaders, if they're first ray, talk about, is to free others. Second ray, what does second ray want to do more than anything else? It wants to illumine. And how does it illumine? It illumines through teaching. It illumines through helping, through shining light on a subject, through it even helps other people through healing them. It illumines their life for them because it has healed them. What does the third ray want to do as a soul? What is its gift? To convey the mind of God. And how does it do that? It brings these higher concepts, these higher ideas into a form that can be understood. It brings the mind of God down into a concept, and that concept becomes an idea later. Or maybe it's the idea first and then the concept. That's how it is. The mind of God, the idea, and then the concept. And so we see this in books, and we see this in teachings, and we see this in philosophy. We see this in science, bringing the mind of God, that which is in that rain cloud of knowable things, and it brings it down. Fourth ray, what does it want to do more than anything else? It wants to unify, to at one, to bring together, to bring the disparate sides so that they are in harmony together, to bring opposition into a state of harmony. Harmony through conflict. You bring the conflict so that they're not conflicting anymore into unification. What does the fifth ray want to do more than anything else? As a soul, it wants to reveal. That's why it is the ray of mystery. It wants to know, it wants to understand that which is hidden. And once it opens it up, it figures it out, it sees its depths, it can bring it up so that we can see it too. It reveals to humanity, right? That which has been hidden, that which is there, but we don't see it. Through revelation, fifth ray. What does sixth ray want to do more than anything else? Remember, it's the ray of the ideal. It wants to uplift humanity, uplift or redeem. And the seventh ray, it wants to bring deity into form. It wants to bring to form the likeness of the energy, the likeness of God. So, as we're trying to ascertain the ray of the soul, soul can be on any one of the seven rays. Soul is a breath of the divine. All souls are creative. All souls create. That's the third aspect. All souls love. That's the second aspect. How that love is expressed, through what service or what creative endeavor speaks to the ray of the soul. Because we have seven to choose from. All souls are powerful. This is the omnipotent. And this was the and the third was the omniscience of the soul. And the second was the omnipresence of the soul. The power of the soul is presence. And what is in the present? This presence gives a feeling or understanding of the now, the real, and how impermanent all forms are. This allows for total creativity and non-attachment. So then, the ray of the soul is a refined expression. It is high and ideal. It is pure and non-personal, although moving through the personality. It has to move through the personality. That's why the two are so linked together. And that's why the soul, as more soul influences us, as I said, I personally like the expression, it's infusing the personality as opposed to infused. We're not yet soul-infused personalities. We are soul-infusing personalities. Okay, we're going to now expand what we just said a little bit more, give you a little bit more help in trying to ascertain the ray of your soul if you're still not knowing what it is. First ray, remember we said freedom. It is visionary and benevolent leadership. It liberates from all that hinders. Acts as a beneficent destroyer, governed by enacting the law. Remember, destruction is not always negative. As a beneficent destroyer. The second ray, what does it want to do? It can be truly compassion. All you have to do is look at the Dalai Lama, right? He is compassion plus. It is the gift of understanding and wisdom. And it can teach others lovingly and wisely. It is healing. It is the light. It brings illumination, and it's the power to save through wisdom, through understanding, through healing, through teaching. Okay? The third ray is about philanthropy. It's about manifesting ideas. It's about the ability to comprehend and then formulate those abstract ideas and communicate spiritual values. It's about philosophy as well. So it's quite a variety here for third ray. Fourth ray, it reveals and expresses beauty. It unifies. It's the divine intermediary. You thought of that for the fourth ray? The divine intermediary. And the power to penetrate the depths. That's something you probably haven't thought about. And why do we say that? The power to penetrate the depths? Because the human condition, in order to know that, you have to penetrate the depths. And that's why drama penetrates the depths. And that's why you have opera, which penetrates the depths. You have pathos, you have the tragedy and the comedy. Tragedy is being able to understand the depths of the human being. The fifth ray is the dispenser of knowledge. It reveals the divine mystery and it discovers the truth. Sixth ray is the visionary. The upholder of the upholder of truth, power to uplift. Remember, power to abstract out of there. That's what you mystic is, abstracts themselves out of the physical form. It's the divine mystic. And the seventh ray is the creator of the form, the divine alchemical worker. And the power to vivify, to bring matter to life, to bring form to life by bringing life into form. It creates transformation through structure and design. Okay, now you know, right? What ray are you? So I want to just teach you this last thing, and then I'm going to open it up to some questions and comments. We won't have that much time. This is a ray formula, and anyone that uses it would use it in this way. So here we have, in Roman numerals, the soul. Okay, the soul is written in Roman numerals. Right beside it is written the personality. Right, and then up and down is written the mental body, the emotional body, and the physical form. So you don't need any of these words that I've typed out here. These words are just to help you know how to list this. But it is just 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7. If I was doing myself, I would do 2, 7, 5, 2, and 3. Okay, so now you know how to do that. Let me bring you guys out, and please, let's open this up to any questions. We can still manage that. Anybody want to raise their hand and ask or comment? Because now you know your raise, right? I know I haven't given you that much time. So I don't see anyone's hand up. I guess everything was that clear. I don't know. Come on, ask a question, make a comment. Okay. Ah, Yvonne. Thank you, Yvonne.
What are we supposed to do with this?
If you are writing out your rays, this is how you would write them. You don't have to say my soul and write out the word soul and then put down what your soul is. You don't have to write out the word personality and then put down what the personality is. This is a formula that if you're writing or typing to anyone your rays, this is how you would do it. It would be 2, 3, and then up and down would be the vehicles.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, Walter. Hi, Walter.
Hello there. So is it common to have some of the bodies as well as the personality and or the soul on the same ray? Like, are they usually more different than the same?
Good question. I think for our purposes, we will not usually see the soul and the personality being on the same ray. I think for our purposes, they're usually different. But you could have the personality and maybe the mind, but generally it doesn't work that way. You could have the personality on, let's say, the sixth ray personality and the sixth ray emotional body. You could have a third ray personality and a third ray physical. You could have a fourth ray personality, maybe a fourth ray mind, but generally it would be too much fourth ray. I also would suggest that no one usually is all even rays and no one is usually all hard rays. We are a combination of rays. Otherwise, again, the soul is very clever in choosing how we are going to live our life. And so it usually gives us a combination that, makes us so that we can handle life a little bit of odd and a little bit of even. The other thing I want to say is that occasionally the Tibetan has made reference where someone was switching from a sixth ray soul to a second ray soul. But for our purposes, we should consider that the soul does not change, that we have the soul from one incarnation to the next. The personality can change. But generally, I think that, again, soul is very economical and very, very clever. It might want to hang on to that personality ray for a number of incarnations until we learn to wield those energies fairly well, and then might move one of the other rays from the other vehicles onto the personality. Do you follow what I mean? We might have a seventh ray physical etheric, and then the soul might decide, well, I'm going to move that seven, and now it will become a personality ray because I've now, exhausted the third ray. So it'll move that into the personality position. The emotional and mental and physical rays may change at every incarnation. The personality may change at every incarnation. Soul does not. Okay, does that help? Okay.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. I'm going to go to Victor. Hi, Victor.
Hello. Hello.
I've got a question about the emotional lobby.
Sure.
For years, I thought I was sixth grade. When you were going over the second grade, I could sense or I could feel that I was tuning in with a lot of that sensitivity. What about second grade emotional lobby? How does it react to other people? Are you understanding? I'm trying to respond to that.
You know, second ray is the ray of love, wisdom. So, but you see, let me back up here again. There's so much more at stake here than just the ray of the emotional. And that's why knowing our astrology is very important. I don't know if you have any Pisces in your astrology. That would also add to a tremendous amount of sensitivity. You see, you might still have a sixth ray emotional if you have a lot of Pisces in your chart.
I don't.
You don't. Okay. Just, you know, if, trying to get a sense of that. So there are other factors. How is second ray with people? Usually warm, but second ray can also, they're usually fairly warm. I have seen second ray personalities being a little bit on the cool side, not having that warmth that the second ray emotional body would give them. They're friendly, they're warm, but they're not as fun. Let's put it this way. Second ray emotionals are not nearly as fun to be with as sixth ray emotionals because they're usually on an even keel. Their emotions do not overreact. Hence, there's I used to say I'm kind of boring because my emotional, I didn't get overly excited about anything. So, you know, you got to kind of factor that in. If that works for you, then, you know, try that on for a while. My motto is always try it on, you know, wear it for a number of weeks or months and see if that feels comfortable observing yourself with that ray as that vehicle and see.
Okay.
I'm sure. I'm sorry. I can't be more definitive.
That works.
Okay. Anybody else here? Elena. I'm going to unmute you. Hi, Elena.
Yes. DK, saying that when we have a first ray astral body, for example, there is an exception and quite rare exception, which to the general rule that the second and sixth ray govern the astral bodies of all humanity. And this rule varies occasionally in the case of disciples when we find a different race from the usual. So I don't know if you have talked about this before, because you are including a different race on the three lower bodies.
I'm not really following you, Elena. So,
well, the usual race for the astral body is six and two.
Correct.
And DK says that when we find a different ray from the six and two, for example, the first ray astral,
right,
it happens only in the case of a disciple.
I haven't come across that. I haven't seen that quote. I would actually.
Well, there is a number of quotes, and one, for example, is Dinah 1, page 427, where he's talking about this for a disciple who had the first ray astral body.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a number of quotes to this respect.
Okay, I'll have to definitely look it up and see if it
And the same, you know, to have a sixth ray physical body is very rare. And again, only happens for a disciple.
Well, you know, I remember when I studied this from the Tapestry of the Gods, Michael's examples did not emphasize that.
Well, he does say, I think, for some of the bodies. But this is a very important, I think, for people to know that to assign other rays that they are the normal assignment for a particular body is quite rare, and it never happens in the case of average people.
Well, then the whole idea of many American people who fall into the category of having sixth ray bodies would not actually work here. As you describe that,
it is not my opinion. this is what the master says.
Again, I would want to see that because I know that I'd want to see that because I know that when we did our workshop with Michael, we looked at it this way, and he never said that it only happens with disciples. So I need to see that. I need to see some of the quotes, you know?
Okay.
So if you don't mind, I don't have a pencil or pen in front of me right now to write down those pages, but you said Dinah 1-427, right? And do you know where the other one might be? You seem to know that one so well.
Well, I would have to look it up, but there's a number of them.
Okay. Do you mind looking it up and sending it to me? I would be very interested in seeing how it's worded.
Sure.
And how to wrap my head around that, you know? Because it's really quite contrary to everything I've known for so many years. So I would be very interested in seeing that and, you know, how it fits in. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any other hands up? Walter, did you want to ask again? Okay. Anybody else before we go? Okay, so I think that's it. Again, I would like very much to follow up on your thoughts there, Elena, and if you could send me that, I'd be very interested, and I might have to revise everything I've been teaching for so many years, or I want to see if it contradicts, you know. But again, thank you. Always open to learn more. And thank you all for attending. I very much appreciate it. I think I'm going to ask you all to sign off first, and then I can close the recording. Okay?
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you all.
Thank you. It's been very interesting.
Okay. Thank you.